I'm really delighted that the theme of this evening's Audio Boo, February Audio Boo, is the first record I ever bought, because it takes me right back to a time in my life when music was extraordinarily, was about to become extraordinarily important for me. The first record I ever bought is very easy for me to remember, because I have repeated to myself many, many times in loads of conversations that the very first record I ever bought was such and such. So it hasn't been difficult to remember it. And it, because it began a whole phase in my life, which was different. Okay, what was it? It was Stranger on the Shore. Good old Akkerbilk. Now, that dates me. Yes, yes, you can all go rushing to your history of pop music and realise immediately that I must either be extraordinarily old, or I must be even more extraordinarily old than you ever thought. Because, yes, I bought it at the time when it was number one. Now, I also had The Young Ones by Cliff Richards. That was another very early one I had. But yes, that music, that first Akkerbilk one, which was number one for an awfully long time in the charts, was the beginning of my record purchasing career. And I call it a career because I pulled a fast one on my mother when I was a youngster. And she, in a moment of weakness, once agreed that she would actually match every penny that I saved up to buy records with money from her. So the earliest thing I can remember is that records used to be 4 and threepence, I think, or some price like that anyway. And I used to work very hard to get pocket money. And I spent all of my pocket money on records. Yes, that's right, I did. I spent all of the money that I earned from cutting grass and doing cleaning windows and any other kind of job I could get. Caddying for my father. Yes, I used to caddy as a kid in short trousers on a golf course. For my dad, and I put all of my savings and any birthday money and anything you'd like, and I bought oodles and oodles of 45s. Yep, never bought 33s. This is a long time ago, and we had a radiogram, and you could play 78s, 33s, and 45s on it, and you had to do funny little things with a needle. By the way, the background noise is just the wind on in the estate where I live, and I'm taking the dog out for a walk in the evening. So yeah, so what can I say? I got into it in a very serious way, though, in about 1962, when I began to purchase in major earnest. And one week in the 1960s, I actually owned 19 of the top 20 records in the charts. I also had a little red book where I used to record the progress of records through the charts. So, for example, Pretty Flamingo came in and it was entered on a certain week in the book, and it went kind of 19, 12, 4, 2, 1, 1, 1, 5, 9, 14, and disappeared out of the top 20. So that kind of a thing. Now, they are not accurate figures, by the way. Don't research me and find that I'm spoofing. But that was the principle behind it. I had a book where I kept copious records of progress through the charts. Why Akkerbilk? I don't know, actually. Think about it. It was very exotic in Ireland in the late 50s to hear the strains of Stranger on the Shore. It really was totally unlike any of the other music that was around me. I must have felt, I'm sure I did, that I was in the vanguard of new culture. I wasn't an Elvis Presley person, I have to say. Somebody quoted Jailhouse Rock, I think it was McCulgan or somebody like that. Now, I know, but I certainly have always been a saxophone player, or not player, lover all my life. So, and there's something, now I think of, for some reason, I think of Procol Harum as well. These are about the instrumental stuff, and Telstar. Anybody remember Telstar? The instrumental stuff by The Shadows as well. I mean, I could, like anybody who lived through the 60s, drop loads and loads of names of pop records. I was very serious about it. I found by accident Radio London one time on the radiogram which we had at home. And Radio London's was far to the left, if you like, or far more avant-garde than Luxembourg was, Radio Luxembourg. I'll come back to being under the sheets with Radio Luxembourg in a second. But Radio Caroline, a lot more radical. Radio London seemed to have, as I remember it, a method of having its own chart, its own charts, which were about 3 weeks ahead of Radio Caroline or Radio Luxembourg. So stuff that was going to hit it big had you know, been highlighted by the Radio London charts. And if you kind of knew what was coming up in the Radio London charts, you sort of were more able to talk more, you were able to talk more knowledgeably to your mates at school. Incidentally, we used to run down the street on a Friday and get the NME, New Musical Express, and retire to the Savoy Cafe in Limerick, where we would nurse one Coke each for about 2.5 hours and talk nothing but the likely direction of pop music. I did this with a person who later became world famous, whose name I won't drop into the conversation because I don't think it would be fair. But I grew up as a good friend of a person who wrote some music which became world famous. And that's a story for another day, but we spent hours and hours talking about pop music in Limerick. And what else do I think of when I think of the early music? I must tell you about the shop where there were two music shops in Limerick. One was a place called Savin's, which must have been where I started buying records. And that was, I don't remember anything remarkable about that shop, except that it stocked records and other things. I guess it stocked kettles probably too. And there were very few televisions in those days in Ireland, but I'm sure it did stock some of them, and it bound to have stocked radios. But there was a shop in Limerick called Todd's, and there was a very remarkable basement that they had in the shop. You went down the steps as you went into this big department store, and there was a round table. But basically, there were turntables there, and you called for the record that you wanted to hear, and you picked up these earphones, which didn't go over the top of your head. You had to hold them with hands, right and left hand. You stuck them onto your ears, and you were able to listen to the 45, and you could listen to it a few times, I think. And this was a real treat. It was like a circular area, and there were several turntables all the way around it. And that's where you used to go very, very often to listen. And okay, I'll own up to the fact that I was a Beatles rather than a Rolling Stones person, although I, of course, had copies of, Satisfaction and all the Rolling Stones records, but I was really big into the Hollies. Okay, I mean, this is a long way. This is taking off, as I'm sure the person who invented this wonderful title for this topic was hoping would happen, that people would let their mind wander off from the question of what was the very first record. Ackerbilk went on and on forever, didn't he? I mean, I'm not even sure that Ackerbilk is... I think Ackerbilk might even be alive. But anyway, what a career he would have had. Now, I didn't follow him because I got much more into the really popular stuff and the whole Mersey sound and everything. And I, you know, I really do wish I had that little red book that I used to keep. Now, Radio Luxembourg comes back into my mind. Finally, just the last thing about this is Sunday nights on Radio Luxembourg. I'm pretty sure it was Sunday nights. Forgive me, it might have been Saturday, when the new chart was out. And Alan Freeman would be there doing the top 20. And, well, I was under the sheets with the radio and a torch and my little book recording the scores, if you like, where things were in the charts. So I think I seem to remember that was about 11 o'clock at night when that came out. It's funny now that I'm on a roll in relation to this stuff, I have to tell you that Radio 1, I got up very early in the morning and I heard The Move. I heard the song by The Move, which was the very first song ever played on Radio 1. I also, by the way, just to get it all out in one single go, Johnny Walker broadcasting off Caroline, that programme he used to do late at night where he would almost talk to people and ask them to flash their headlights at the ship from the beaches, well, actually from the cliffs. Anybody remember that? Oh, yeah. Well, look, I've had my walk down Nostalgia Lane. All those records, by the way, that I owned were subsequently melted down by one of my brothers and turned into flying saucers that could be chucked around. We used them all for dancing too and stuff like that. I'm sorry that I haven't been able to sort of illustrate this little chat by excerpts from the music, because that would really please me. But so that's it. My earliest days on music. Thanks ever so much. I look forward very much to hearing what you all bought first. Bye.